This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Alrighty, we are back, and we have with us here Pastor Jeff Calhoun. He's from the great state of Kentucky. And what part of Kentucky are you from, Jeff? Are you there? We don't have Jeff.
Part of the Western Kentucky coal fields.
Oh, okay. I had a lot of relatives from Smithland to Paducah.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Know right where you are.
And so my buddy Pastor Homer, who pastors a church there in Paducah, I preached there several times in the past. But now, all right, so. What we're, you know, everything you've said, we're totally in agreement with. And what we need to do is we need to get started out there around the country. Now, I don't know how many counties you're in already and how much
we're
you've done.
We're close to 700. We're in every state, and we're approaching 700 counties and growing daily.
Well, 3 years ago, I was asked to come speak at Liberty Baptist College there in Virginia University, and I was able to speak to 250 county sheriffs, and they wanted me to tell them where we got the Divine Institution of Human Government, and that's what I did. And these sheriffs understood, they're like you and I, they want to take our country back the way, you know, under our Constitution. And so that's a good movement, but the opposition knows their time is short. And you know, you were referring to here the Word of God, the Bible. Over the years, I've been very active in the pro-life movement since the very beginning. In fact, I was with Dr. Jack Wilkie right in the beginning where we made our mission statements. And because of that, over the years, I'd done a lot of preaching out in front of these abortion mills. I mean, big time. And I've been arrested many times out there for preaching the gospel. And when I was arrested by myself, if I was the only one, I could defend myself with my own venue. And this venue is the King James Bible. Now, it's the only Bible that you could do that with because it's the only Bible that is an authorized book of law by a sovereign nation. And so I could do that, and I have many times. And I can tell you, usually 15 minutes of God's word, they just want me out of that courtroom. But we've never lost a case. But one time I was able to preach for a whole hour from the Word of God there, okay, using God's word, the Bible. It was an amazing, amazing victory.
Pastor Jeff, I just want to jump in here for a second first off, say it was a very articulate understanding of tactical civics and really what our government, what the people need to do to take back their government. I'd like to throw a plug out there for tacticalcivics.com. If you're outside the state of Ohio, go onto that website and then try to find some a local chapter. If you're in Ohio, you can contact Doers of the Word in Geauga County. Pastor Sanders and our church can help get you connected. And I really want to also put a plug in to something that I found out about through our church Doers of the Word, which was the Black Robe Regiment, which was a very integral group of pastors back during the Revolutionary War. And all of these listeners out there, if you get a chance, do some research on the internet to find the Black Robe Regiment, and you'll see how important the pastors were for the American people back during the Revolutionary War. And we have pastors now that are non-501c3, like Pastor Ernie Sanders here, and other great pastors that I've met here in Ohio. I also, for about a decade, was worshiping at a church that I loved. Thought the pastor, who was also a radio pastor, was articulate, well-versed in the Bible, and loved him. never thought in a million years would I leave that church. And then COVID hits and the church closes. I look for a church that isn't closed down so I could continue worshiping and being in the presence of the Holy Spirit with brothers and sisters in Christ. And when the church reopened, I went back only to find a bunch of scared people wearing masks, sneering at me, you know, walking down the aisles because I wasn't wearing a mask. And without going into too much other things, but what was most important was finding out that that pastor, who I felt was a pastor that I would have studied with and worshiped with for the rest of my life, would not teach out of the book of Revelation. Anyone who knows their Bible, anyone who pays attention to what's going on in the world, we're living in the times of the book of Revelation. And it's continuing to go deeper and deeper and deeper down into that book. And when a pastor won't preach that from the pulpit, won't allow his Sunday school teachers to teach that, or the home or the in-home Bible teachers to teach that, that's a church that I ran from. That's a church that anybody who really wants to get closer to the Lord and understand what's really going on needs to run away from. And when I pressed that issue, when I went to some of the right-hand man of that particular pastor, who I still have a lot of respect for, because I do believe he's done a lot for the kingdom of God, but he is not empowering his brothers and sisters in Christ with the power that the Bible gives. There's a lot of power in the Word of God. Anyone who really loves the Word of God and has grown to feel like they need to be in praise and worship every day, not just every Sunday, but every day, trying to connect to God, connect to the power of the Holy Spirit, they can't be in a church where there's a weak man. And he's a weak man. I'm saving his name out there out of respect, but he was a weak pastor, not only for caving to closing his church down, then letting people get sneered at and looked at because they wouldn't wear a mask. And then he wouldn't speak out about what was going on in the world politically because he didn't want to offend anybody. And a lot of churches like that, some refer to them as a country club church, where the main objective of the pastor is to make the people feel good, entertainment with the music. And it is entertaining and it is uplifting at times. But when you really look for the meat and the power of the gospel, of the Holy Spirit, you run from places like that. So, Pastor, I could tell just by listening to you passionately talk about tactical civics, you would be a man I would be honored to sit in the pews with, just like Pastor Sanders. And we need more men like this. We need people to really understand about the Black Robe Regiment during the revolutionary times. And these pastors need to, I don't want to say grow a pair in the pulpit, but they really need to become men of God, powerful men like David, powerful men like Joshua, because we don't have a lot of powerful men. I've visited many churches in my time, and there are some very, very weak pastors that just focus on not rocking the boat and entertaining the people. So God bless you for your love of the gospel. God bless you for tactical civics and getting involved. And anybody listening, we need everybody in the United States of America, Republicans, Democrats. That stuff goes out the window. We know that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have been hijacked. A lot of these men out there are puppets. We have a man in Ohio, Representative Jim Jordan, one of the greatest American people in the political realm. We need to keep praying for this man and more men like him to step out. Women like Dr. Simone Gold, Dr. Sharon Tenpenny, who has this little hearing coming up tomorrow. We need to be in prayer for these people, and we need to be seeking more people like that who are powerful and who are stepping out in truth and in power in the Holy Spirit. So,
well, you know, Pastor Jeff, the pastor he's talking about, actually, I heard him say that he doesn't get involved in politics, and he suggests his people stay out of politics. Well, see, from Genesis to Revelation, every prophet, every priest, every preacher, and none exude this like the Lord Jesus himself. Their politics and their faith were inseparable. They were exactly one of the very same thing. And so when you hear people say, well,
that's one of the most irritating cop-outs that I hear from pastors is, oh, we'll talk about politics. I like Chesterton. He said, don't talk about politics and religion. What else is there to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. And so But now what we need to do is we need to get started in our counties. Do you have a phone number? How do we get your organization?
Well, you want to go for anyone that wants to join us, and you know, we encourage people that have realized they're frustrated, they're angry, and are desperate for an actual solution that people can work and do. It's not a mystery. It's not secret knowledge. It's actual real constitutional work that we can set our hands to. Go to tacticalcivics.com. It's all one word, tacticalcivics, all one word, .com. And there's a jot form there. You've already heard the video. There's a jot form there. You click the red button that says join us now, and it'll open up a jot form where you can enter your information, and you can join us. You can join us monthly at $5 a month, which is nothing, or you can join us yearly at $50 a year, which is nothing. And then what that'll do is that will allow you to join your state chapter and to get into our training center. And our training center is a robust reservoir and depository of American civics, constitutional republicanism training. It trains you. And we have an active organization. We have Zoom calls that are happening every day of the week that you can join and be a part of. And books that are all available. We've got hundreds of books and papers and podcasts and videos, just an enormous resource of training. And, you know, here's what we realize, and what I think a lot of people realize now, is we're not going to elect our way out of the mess that we're in right now. Elections aren't going to cure this. The criminality in D.C. and in our state palaces has become so entrenched and so vile that the only solution, the only thing that we can do is to return law enforcement back to the people and take it out of the hands of government. It's not that we want to assume a combative posture towards sheriffs and sheriff departments and officers of the peace in our local communities. We want to collaborate with them, and we want to work in cooperation with them. But here's what the founders knew, Pastor, is that a law enforcement body that belonged exclusively to the people, then the government would progress towards tyranny. If the government controlled enforcement of the law, and especially bearing sword, that's why our founders were so vehemently opposed to a standing army, because they knew that putting the sword in the hands of government and taking it out of the hands of the people would result in the loss of liberty. And that's exactly what we've experienced over the last 160 years. Ever since Lincoln's war and his shock and awe campaign, when he established a perpetual standing army on our own soil. And so we're not going to elect our way out of this. We've got to return enforcement of the law to the people. And that's exactly what Tactical Civics is trying to do. And once we do that, once we teach our elected servants to fear the people, because we actually bear the force of law and we actually carry the authority to enforce it, nothing's going to change. And our ultimate goal, and this is our ultimate action project, and this is a bit of history that maybe you didn't even know about, Pastor Ernie, is we have a pending amendment right now. When the founders passed the Bill of Rights, they didn't pass 10 amendments. They passed the 12 amendments, and they sent those 12 amendments to the state. And of those 12 amendments, 10 were ratified by the required number of states. But the original First Amendment and the original Second Amendment were not initially passed. But because those amendments had no termination date, no statute of limitation, they're perpetually standing amendments. In 1983, a University of Kentucky college student became aware of the original Second Amendment and that it was just sitting, collecting dust in the congressional archives, and it was waiting to be ratified. And it was the amendment that stipulated that Congress could not increase their pay and receive that pay increase during that same Congress. So it stipulates that an intervene. If Congress increases their pay, there has to be an election and a new Congress has to be seated. Well, for whatever reason, in the founding generation, the state required number of states didn't ratify the original Second Amendment that had that stipulation. And this University of Texas college student named Greg Watson finds out about it, and he embarks on a personal crusade that lasts for 9 years. And in 1992, he crossed the finish line, got the 38th state to ratify that amendment, and it became our 27th Amendment and a part of the Constitution. So we have incredible precedent. So what's the original First Amendment? What was it that the founders put at the top of the stack of bills of amendment when they created our Bill of Rights? Well, it was an extrapolation of Article 1, Section 2, Clause 4, which was the enumeration clause or the apportionment clause. And in the Constitution, it established that after the first census, 3 years after Congress was seated, that there would be an election. And the apportionment would be one representative for every 30,000 people. And that was the only issue that President George Washington stood up to speak about at the Constitutional Convention, because right when they were ready to send the Constitution to the state, Nathaniel Gorham made a motion. He said, can we alter, change before we send this out and finally approve it? Can we change Article 1, Section 2, Clause 4? It originally stated one for every 40,000. He said, can we change it to one for every 30,000? That would be the proportion of representation. And at that moment, George Washington spoke for the first time in those 5 months. And he said, I think this issue, above every other issue, will ensure ratification of this Constitution. That is the guarantee of small representative districts. So they sent the Constitution off, and it was ratified unanimously. Rhode Island had to have their arm twisted a little bit, but every state ratified it. Every colony ratified it. And then they sent the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights in the original First Amendment, it extrapolated on that original Article 1, Section 2, Clause 4, and it created a formula. And it said, after the first enumeration, the Congress shall be one representative, House of Representatives, one representative for every 30,000 people until Congress reaches 100, after which the apportionment will be, the ratio will be one representative for every 40,000 until Congress reaches 200, after which it will be one representative for every 50,000. And that's where they put the cap. They put the cap at one representative for every 50,000. And this gets to the other huge elephant in the room and the huge problem that we're dealing with right now, and that's the lack of representation in America. Right now, we have one representative for every 750,000 people. And as a matter of fact, Ohio has lost representation in the past decade. They've actually lost the number of representatives. And so we have a ratio of one representative in the House for every 750,000 people. And the founders knew that if the size of representation in government shrank respective to the population, that it would create an environment for tyranny and corruption, because Congress would be secluded and sequestered and not under the watchful eye of the people. And so the original First Amendment has been ratified by 11 states. It missed being a part of the Constitution by one state, and there's a story there with Connecticut that I won't get into, but the short story is they ratified it, but their notice of ratification was never delivered. And so there was some chicanery that went on there that we don't know about, but it was discovered In 2011, their notice of ratification in their archives, but it was too late. And so now we need 27 states to ratify our original First Amendment. And let me tell you what will happen. When we get, and this is our ultimate goal in tactical civics, this is the whole reason that we're restoring constitutional law enforcement back to the people, county by county by county, and having the people beginning to bear the sword and bring their elected servants to heel and make them accountable for when they violate the supreme law of the land, is so that we can, in sync and collectively in every state, descend upon our state legislatures and present them with a standing resolution to pull up a vote for that amendment. And when that gets passed, when that amendment is ratified, it will create over 6,000 new representative districts. And that's going to do a few things immediately. Number one, it's going to end gerrymandering. No longer will the party in power, and particularly in these states with large urban centers, be able to redraw their congressional districts to favor their party that's in power. That will end. They won't be able to gerrymander 6,000 new districts. We'll have 6,500 representative districts. Second thing that will happen is it's going to enable us to pursue our first reform law, which is the Bring Congress Home Act, where we stipulate that every representative works from a home office in their home district with two staff people, a modest office, and they work under the superintendence of their representative district, which will not be any larger than 50,000 people. And so for the first time in 160 years, the 31,000 small towns in America are going to have a voice. States like South Dakota that have 1 million residents and one representative for 1 million residents. I mean, you've got small towns all throughout the heartland of America that don't have a voice. We're basically being run by urban metropolitan areas that are run by progressive Marxists. And so ratifying our original first right is going to restore representation back to the people. And it's going to allow us to demand that it'll be a momentous time in the history of the world. It'll be the first time that there has been a republic that's had a distributed legislature. That's been distributed throughout the republic. And if anything COVID taught us, it taught us that the work of government can be done through telepresence, through video conference. And so that's our ultimate action item. And I just encourage anyone that is tired, is fed up, and is ready to do the chores that come with being a part of We the People in this Constitutional Republic to go to tacticalcivics.com, click the Join Us Now red button, fill out the job form. If you're unsure at all, just sign up for $5 a month to kick the tires and get in there and see what it's all about. And join us in this mission and help us build these chapters county by county, restoring law enforcement to the hands of the people, and then restoring representation the way the founders intended it to be.
It's such an exciting thing to think about, you know, to even just to watch what's going on in Ohio right now. And you basically know it's rigged, you know, to think about nothing's rigged. Our politicians listen to what we say and do what we say. We don't give away billions and billions and billions of dollars to other countries and all these crazy things that go on. I mean, I had a math expert look at 82% of all the laws that are illegal, and he said that basically what it boils down to in money terms is about $1,700 to $2,300 a month back in the pockets of the American people. What an incredible time we will have when we get this stuff going,
Pastor Jeff. Yeah. One of the things, there's a lot of people out there listening, a whole lot. We're on coast to coast. And they are older folks like me. They're not on the internet. In fact, a lot of these folks, people have tossed out their televisions. They've gotten so fed up with the woke, they've tossed it to their televisions, and the only thing they left out there is their telephones and AM talk radio. And I see now that the left is trying to stop AM talk radios from being put in all the new cars. They're actually trying to pass legislation to keep that from happening, but I don't think that's going to happen. Is there a phone number for folks that can call, people like me, because there's a lot of them out there who would like to be able just to call and contact and set up a meeting to get their county going?
I tell you what I would, and that's a great question that I don't have a ready answer for, because we are doing everything through digital platforms. I'm looking right now to see if I can find a number. And give me just a minute.
While you're doing that, while you're looking for the number, I think what we're going to do is open up the phone lines and take some calls out there. So from all across the country. So if you're out there listening to us tonight and you want to find out, do you have a question or comment? We got to limit the calls probably about 2 or 3 minutes because it's going to be a lot of people calling. So the number is 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. So the phone lines are now open. We're talking about the tactical civics, what we're talking about, .com. And so we need to take America back and use it, whatever the best tools we can find. And there's a whole lot of people out there that they're all thinking and believing the same way, a lot of us. And it's like a whole lot of us don't believe that this so-called election was on the up and up. We know that if there's anything that the opposition knows, is how to rig elections. They don't do anything honestly, never, okay? And we always find out about it later on. You know, you find out we had 200-something thousand illegal ballots. You always find out afterwards. And so, but, you know, and again, this is not people's, these preachers. If I was in a church and that pastor did not tell me to go and vote yes, I'd leave that church. I'd left that church. This is not a political issue. This is a sin issue. See, killing babies is a sin. Sodomy is a sin. Sex trafficking is a sin. Taking away your Second Amendment rights, that's a sin. So all of these things, it's not about politics. It's about sin. It's a sin issue, okay? And we as Christians, God's Word, the Bible, is very clear. He gives us three missions. Mission one, of course, is the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. To go out and preach the gospel, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach the Word of God. But mission two is from Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible, is clear. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is disobedience to God. In mission three, he tells you that we are to hold fast to the traditions of the apostles, to stand fast and not give up a ground. And that's what we need to do. So we'll be back right after this.
A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, "I want to see the preacher." So they left them alone. "Will you make me a promise?" She said as he walked in. He said, "Tell me what I can do." She said this to him.
"Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear.
That I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about Mom and Dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Just tell Mom and Dad about heaven above, how they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. How great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep.
The pain that he had to bear. Tell Mom and Dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
All right, tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. The phone lines are open at 888-677-9673, and that's 888-677-9673. And you had just like, for example, we talked about election fraud. What happened in Akron today?
Well, it said thousands of Ohioans, particularly in the Akron region, headed to the polling stations today for a special election. The focal point of this election is the decision on Issue 1, a measure that seeks to set stringent rules on public attempts to modify the state constitution. However, a curveball was thrown in Cuyahoga Falls when News 5 Mike Holden reported ballot scanner issues. There's a bit of an issue here. This has resulted in people not being able to cast their ballot immediately, said Holden. Affected voters were presented with two options: to store their ballots in a bright orange bag for later scanning, or to nullify their ballot and return later. Distraught and frustrated, several people complained. Many voters reached out to the Board of Elections in Summit County to complain and to try to seek clarity. And then here's an interesting thing. Kerry Lake got wind of this on Twitter. Kerry Lake was the former runner for governor.
She ran for governor
in the state
yeah.
of Arizona. Kerry Lake took to Twitter to voice her frustrations, drawing parallels with what happened to her in Maricopa County and critiquing the Ohio Secretary of State. And you got to remember, she went into a runoff, and her opponent was the one that counted the votes.
Right.
So not only do we have to take back our counties and take back our country, but you know, term limits for these crooked congressmen and senators. Besides, trying to do that and do some of the other things that Pastor Jeff talked about, we really have to do voter reform. The voting, I would have bet my bank account that in Geauga County, which has always been a Republican, strong conservative county, would have gone yes for this issue one, and we're finding that it went no.
Well, they're finding, they say it went no. I don't exactly believe it because, again, the corruption. Look, you know, we've gone through here, when you, like you said, if every no sign, there was four yes signs out there, people in all the yards. And no, I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that, again, there was election fraud.
And you and I talked to many people that were thinking about voting no, but they didn't even know what they were really voting for.
Right.
The Democratic Party asked them to put signs in their yard. And it's crazy because that's not a Democratic or Republican issue. It's a people of Ohio issue. And people of Ohio got shortchanged today.
They did. Again, one more time, they got shortchanged. And again, they don't realize. But I can tell you this. For people out there listening, and they should tell folks, as a pastor of a church, if someone was at our church and they came in and they had voted no, I would ask them to come up and repent in front of the church, because we're not talking about political. We're talking about a sin issue. We're talking about killing babies. We're talking about sodomy. Everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin, the whole point of this is to promote that and to put that in our Constitution. And if they refuse to come up and repent, then we would disfellowship with them in the church. And you see, most if the pastors only had the courage, if they only had the courage, but I guess, you know, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. They would have been in that pulpit, every one of them. Now, I want to say this, in Ohio, a greater number of them were this time, because I know I heard from several of them. They felt the same way I do. But if the pastors had done their job, God would never have been kicked out of the public school in 62. We would never have that court that was supreme. Only in a rebellion against God, they would never have taken what God made unlawful and made legal by license, and that was the destruction of God's, the image of God. If the pastors had just done their job, we never would have what they call same-sex marriage, if the pastors had only had the courage to do their job. Okay, we're going to take some calls, so let's go. Steve, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. Real quick, Mike Lindell, August 16th and 17th, is having he's got a complete reform of the voting. I don't know if you heard about it, but it's on War Room, and Bannon, usually, you know, Steve Bannon's got him on there. And I'm trying to think, it's a whole brand new thing. He's going to do like how he did the election stuff back in time when he did it on Lindell TV, you know, trying to show how all the different patterns of, you know, when the Dominion machines and all that, he was showing, he had all those different people. There was 2 days of there. This is a whole new idea of voting, and it'll be August 16th and 17th. He says you're supposed to sign up for it. You just go on, I don't know if warroom.org or whatever it is would have it, but if it's on Lindell TV, or just, you know, the War Room, you know, when Bannon has a show on, he'll be on there, but just tells what you have to do. But it's on August 16th and 17th.
All right.
Sign up for it,
Steve.
You get a two-day thing. Okay.
All right, I want to remind the folks out there listening, Lord's willing, I will be in Cortland, Ohio at the Top Notch restaurant. Now, folks, I don't have the address, but it doesn't matter. Cortland's not that big. There's only about four restaurants in Cortland, and it's the one by the gas station. So Top Notch restaurant from 6 to 8 tomorrow. There in Cortland, Ohio, and we're going to be talking about what happened today, a lot of what happened today, and where we're going in this country, too. So, very good. Who do we have next there, Style? Okay. All right. Again, I wanted to, I know we're coming up to the end, and Pastor Jeff, I want you to hang in with us for a little while longer, because I want to ask you to give the invitation tonight. Before we go off the air, from telling folks out there how they can avoid hell and how they can get to heaven. So, are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Very good. Thanks. Okay. What did you have, Dennis?
Well, another thing. I was listening to Molly Smith, who comes on the radio a little bit before us, and she was talking about something very interesting, that the Appropriations Committee in the House passed a bill where they were looking at defunding the WHO, the World Health Organization. And most Americans, myself included, a couple of years ago, we thought organizations like the WHO, the CDC, were organizations that really cared about the people.
Do you really believe that?
We did years ago, and now...
Yeah, I expected more.
Well, I didn't pay much attention to it. I just thought... But what we're realizing is these aren't even governmental agencies. These are agencies that are affiliated to the United Nations. And supposedly, they are looking seriously. So we got to start getting in touch with all of our congressmen to really hammer down that we want the WHO defunded. I know Trump would have defunded it.
Oh, yeah.
Biden, he's the only thing he's going to defund is I'm not going to say that on the air.
We need to defund the so-called Justice Department, the DOJ, and we need to defund right now because of what they've done. They've become totally corrupted. They are not legitimate anymore.
Well, they're never legal in the first place.
No, and so, but, and especially to the Department of Education, which is nothing but a communist organization.
Well, the CDC, too. That I mean, if you've paid attention to the real news, I mean, I don't think any of your listeners listen to ABC, CBS, MSNBC, all those joke what they call legacy media. But if people are really paying attention, Fauci should be tried for treason.
Absolutely.
The CDC should be defunded. And I'm hoping that these frontline doctors really start reaching out to band together more doctors and create a whole new association for real, honest doctors that really care about their patients and really care about the science, because they try to always say, oh, we don't care about the science. It was the science from people like Dr. Simone Gold and Dr. Artis and a lot of these other doctors who they're trying to paint as witch doctors. But these were true blue, very educated doctors who saved a lot of lives, because we know what a lot of these vaccinations are doing to a lot of people.
Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells you when he refers to science falsely so-called, science falsely, that's exactly what's with the Apostle Paul. And that's what they're referring to, science falsely so-called. Look, all of this global warming is science so falsely so-called. Evolution is science falsely so-called. All of this thing of where you have all of these different genders now, what is it, 100 different genders? That's science falsely so-called. And how you have men giving birth to babies, having babies. Listen, if you're having a baby, you're not a man, right?
Yeah. Well, and you've got the media that raises up false stories. CNN was caught multiple times doing fake news.
Oh, absolutely.
But the real news, you've got some of these poor transgender kids who have been manipulated at a young age, gone through the surgeries. I forget the girl the boy who tried to be a girl who had one body part amputated, and then they built a female part on her. She is in more pain than she ever dreamed. She wants to commit suicide, but she's out there trying to be a voice to save other children, yet you don't hear about that. It made the rounds for one day through internet media, and this girl's voice is just taken away. And these are the people that are really trying to do good for a false movement, a movement that is filled with satanic treachery.
It is. That's, you're absolutely right. It is absolutely satanic. Pastor Jeff, did you ever find a phone number where the folks could call? Or Pastor Jeff, are you there? Hello.
Yeah, sorry, I had my mic muted. So the only number that we have that people can call is our weekly conference call that we have. It's our Sunday night fellowship that happens every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. Central. And there's a, you know, some, you know, if people want this, they need to get a pen and write this down. If you call this number and get on this call, you can ask about how you can join if you don't have internet or a way to pay, you know, digitally online. And that number is 712-775-7031. And there's a passcode that you have to enter in order to join the call. And that passcode is 123 877-344. So again, the number is 712-775-7031. And the passcode is 123-277-344. And that's for the Tactical Civics weekly conference call that happens on every Sunday night. And if you call that number and you say, hey, I want to join up, tell me how I can do that, then you will absolutely, somebody will lead you in the right direction.
And again, that was 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. You can't call that during off hours. It won't work.
And right. Well,
let me correct. Somebody just gave me an updated phone number for the conference call. You know, these things change. Let me give an updated number. It's 701-801-6055. That's 701-801-6055. And if you just dial that number, that'll put you in. You don't need a passcode or anything. You can just dial that number, 701-801-6055. And that'll be a conference call with our founder, David Zuniga. And when you get on that call, you can absolutely say, hey, I want to join. Don't have internet. Don't have a way. And somebody will get you in the right place.
All right. Very good. Sign me up, preacher, because I'd like to get somebody. Now, who's the coordinator for Ohio area?
We don't have a state coordinator yet. I am the regional coordinator for Kentucky, Tennessee, and Ohio. And so so I'm doing three states at once, and we are actively pursuing probably two, maybe three coordinators for the state in Ohio, just because, you know, Ohio's got, you know, what, 12 million people, and the population centers are spread from southern Ohio, you know, through central Ohio and northern Ohio. And so we're probably going to wind up with two or three coordinators in Ohio, but we're, you know, we've had some growth in Ohio in the past few months. And, you know, we're working on getting people up to speed. And
well, the church that I pastor is called Doers of the Word Baptist Church. And that we're exactly that. We're a very, very activist church. And I've got old Dennis Buckeye over here who might be just the guy that we could get and to be the coordinator while I use the radio to bring the people out.
I'm going to say, I definitely am looking, trying to find some people for that position. That's why on the 18th, Friday night, I won't give out my address to everyone, but you can call Doers of the Word and get my address if you're local and you want to come to an intro meeting and you have any interest at all.
The 18th on a Friday night, what time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock? Okay, maybe I'll... they can call the church and ask for Dennis and he'll give them the address. All righty, very good. Now it's time. Jeff, you've got. Can you give an invitation in 4 minutes?
I can give an invitation in 4 minutes.
Do it, my friend.
Well, folks, if you're listening right now, and maybe you're in a place of hopelessness, maybe you're in a place of real frustration, maybe you're in a place of suffering and loss and pain. Maybe as you're listening right now, you know in your heart of hearts that you have been running away from God and not to God. Well, I have good news for you. God sent his son to die for sinners, and that's what I was. That's what we all are. Scripture says that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. But the good news is that the Bible says, in Christ Jesus, the one who came and lived and fully showed us who God was and what God was like, who lived a sinless life. The Bible says that in him, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. I remember a game I used to play when I was a kid. It was called Kick the Can, and we would all go hide. You know, it would be dark, and we would hide, and there was some person that was trying to find everyone. And there was a point at which, if you were hiding and the game was over, they would yell, "Ollie, Ollie, in, come free. Ollie, Ollie, in, come free." Well, what I want to tell you tonight is this is an opportunity you have where God is saying, "All come in free," because his gift of forgiveness and eternal life is a free gift. And he is no respecter of persons. And he offers you free life and forgiveness that Christ Jesus paid for on the cross through his death and then through his resurrection. He secured that life for us so that he could give it to us as a gift, not based on anything that we've done. None of us could ever do enough to earn a right standing with God. But God saw us in our pitiful and helpless condition, and he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And so Jesus took all of our sin so that we could be restored and have a relationship with God and be made right. I don't know about you, but I had a time in my life when I knew things weren't right and I wanted things to be made right, but I had failed time and time again to make them right. Well, that's because we can't. But what we can't do, God did in Christ.
Yeah, 1 minute.
That while we were helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. So would you just open your heart to him? The Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just cry out to God and say, "God, forgive me and accept me and fill my life with your spirit and lead me into new life." And he will answer that call every time.
Thank you very much for that. And we're at the end of the program, and we will, again, you're going to have a meeting on the 18th, and the folks, they can call Doers of the Word at 440-338-1367, 440-338-1367, and ask for Dennis, and we will give you more information on that. And we got to do that here in Ohio, and we got to get it done. We've got to do whatever we can bring America back to one nation under God. We're out of time for now. How much time do I have? Okay. I want to thank you very, very much for being here, Pastor Jeff.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting.
Yeah, Will, we're going to have you back. We got to get this thing done. And for you other fellows, until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.